Okay, welcome to the Danieltown Planning Commission meeting. This is Wednesday, April 16th, 2025, 7 p.m. in the Wasatch County Services Building at 55 South 500 East in Heber City. We'll begin with agenda item number one, which is public comment. Anything that's not on the agenda? And state your name.
My name is Scott Long. And I just had a question, I guess maybe just wanted to bring it to the planning meeting regarding a residential lot on Mill Road and 3000. Maybe it's already been discussed in previous meetings, I'm not sure, but there's at 1180 East, 3000 South, there's tons of buildings not connected to the home with lots of people living in them. Is this something that's already been brought before the meeting?
What was the address?
1180 East.
Corner of Mill Road and 3000 South.
The little yellow house with the double wide out.
That now has a double wide.
Oh, yes, I noticed that as I
was getting out of hand.
Come up the street.
What can be done or what processes are in place to take care of that or discuss that or whatever. Because that's kosher. I mean, I want to do that and rent out 60 buildings on my lot.
Do you?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
Has anything been filed on
no.
against them?
So the way the complaints work, I'll address it if you want me to.
Yeah.
And the way the complaints work is we have a written complaint, and that starts the investigation process.
Okay.
So until somebody will put it, somebody will put it in pen and sign it.
Can I do that?
You bet.
Sweet. Well, how do I go about doing that?
You just send it to me and
I'll
present it to the council, and they'll instruct me on to start an investigation or preliminary investigation or handle it. So.
Okay.
And you'll accept an email, right?
Yeah.
I'll send you one.
Yeah, she will.
Okay,
yeah, she
will. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, anything else? All right. We'll move to agenda item number two, which is election of chair and vice chair for 2025, which we're a little late in doing.
Every year.
I've just been doing it out of fun since January because my term was ended.
Bless you.
And it's so much fun.
So if anyone else would like some fun.
I think you've been doing an awesome job, Gary, and I'd like to make a motion that you continue at the chair.
Seconded.
Okay. Have a motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wiley, yes.
Bridger. Banger, yes. I've got two things going on in my mind. Can you tell?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I'm going to make a
real fast motion.
Okay. Why don't you get to that? Now we need a vice chair.
Bridger's going to be our vice chair. Make the motion that Bridger Wild is our vice chair.
I'll second that.
Okay, have a motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Banger, yes.
Wild, yes.
So Bridger,
cool.
Thanks, put it on your calendar in January that we figure out how to put someone else in.
Yeah, we'll do it.
Okay.
Somebody that's not here that should be sitting next to you.
I was going to say, can we put Byron in right now?
Right? Didn't think of that.
Yeah, TJ may miss a meeting.
That's what happens when you don't show, huh?
Okay, we'll move to number three, which are training requirements for Planning Commission members. And I'm going to turn time over to Mary since she's familiar with this.
When we first looked at this, we were under the impression, unfortunately for us, that we would have to do quite a bit of training. And we are not, actually. We're exempt. All you're required to do is 1 hour of training before you actually sit on a council, and everyone here has already accomplished that. So we are good with it. However, training is always really, really good.
It's always good.
And so on the next page, I've given you a couple of options, a couple of places where you could go to get additional training. I originally had this set up for March 2025. I wanted to point out the Utah League of Cities and Towns, ulct.org, has both online and in-person training options. They have just accomplished their spring training, which was in March and April. There are videos that you can view if you're so inclined to do that. But in addition to that, there's a whole library of other things there that are of interest that you may want to brush up on that. The other really good resource that we have is the Utah Land Use Institute, also online at utahlanduse.org. And they have a land use library, so you can just scroll through all that, and anything that's of interest to you, it's all video, PowerPoint presentations, and those kinds of things. So if you know something is coming up and you want to get a little leg up on what to think about, I recommend that you try a little bit of additional outside training. But in addition to that, if something's coming up and you think that you would like to have additional training, we could talk about that and see what we could do. Okay, but I'm not going to propose something. You'll have to bring it to us. Okay?
Great resources. Thank you.
I would bet that they've got this 2025 legislative session online now.
It is, yeah. That's what I'm saying. They videoed it. And
that was the live session that you've got crossed out. Mm-hmm. But.
Right. And they had one in April as well. And like I say, they're both up there now as just videos.
So it's always interesting to see what the legislature did to this.
It's a nice way to put it. Yeah, it is a nice way to put it.
It is always interesting.
Cool.
All right, let's move to agenda item number 4, which is senior packet. So, yep. As you can see, the site plan.
I'll get to the schedule.
And since this is larger than 1,500 square feet.
That's why it's a conditional use, the size.
Great.
Okay. Do you know how many square feet it actually is?
It's an addition, so the barn's already existing and he's adding on.
To the one that's already there?
Yeah, so that'll push him over to that way.
Got it.
He thought he'd be here with some plans. But
okay.
Shift up, Bruce.
Okay, so yeah, that's that one that's in my house. So anyway, I'm ready for a motion.
I make a motion that we schedule a public hearing for the Palvordi Grace Chubb Barn conditional use permit at 3151 Poppy Lane for next month.
May 21st?
May 21st, thank you.
May 21st.
I'll second that.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Okay. Richard. Let's go to number 5, which is a zone change, which is in your packet, but all we're going to do tonight is schedule a public hearing.
Mr. Myers is here.
Yeah.
How we doing?
Hello.
What a wonderful meeting. Just wait. Mary's in a good mood because she retired once and came back.
They can't live without me, what can I say? There is a map in your packet. Mr. Myers was hoping to bring a plat map, which he didn't, but there is a map in here that you can see the colored one. There
this
you
one?
Go. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Uh-huh. What we're looking at is the, I know it's very small, all the way over on the east side of Daniel on Highway 40, you'll see that there are two very small, if you can't even see them, they're mostly colored as commercial, but one doesn't have the the parcel numbers on the map, but it's 0.97 acres, and then right below it is 2.63 acres. If you'll see that over in that orange colored.
So the 0.97 is on the highway?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. It's those two little small parcels, and they don't go all the way down to Little Sweden.
Oh, they don't?
No.
Because I Googled it to try to figure out where it was at. I couldn't tell that.
But it's two separate parcels.
And what was the second one, 6.23?
2.6.
2 point.
Yes, 2.63.
All right, Bruce Solinger, who's our real estate agent, he was supposed to bring a map. He's printing that. He's coming right now. Good old Bruce.
So we can still set the public hearing to just help us to kind of know what we're going to be talking about next time.
Do you want a map?
Look at this guy.
Eric's got it under control.
Yeah.
That'll help you.
So these two right here.
Thank you, Eric.
He bet.
Thank you. So
which ones is it again?
Yep, it's those two right there. Two, yeah. They're currently building, it looks like storage units on this one. Thank you so much.
Do you see 4489?
Yeah. So this guy's got storage units.
4489. And then the one just north.
Oh, are we supposed to? This one's up on the
right. Here and here.
So we're here.
Correct.
Use this one and this one.
That's okay. Right.
And they're from Victor Hansen. I have I emailed a letter.
This is the record.
So I'm under contract right now to buy it.
2.63 was the second.
We have not purchased it. We're supposed to be
the bigger of the two.
The record is relayed. Less than 30 days, but they sent me a letter
which doesn't
saying I could apply for this. Which I sent to sir.
You have a letter then, Eric, from it?
I do not. I have not received any additional information from my request.
Can I forward this to you?
You bet.
Cool. All right. What's your email?
Eric.
Okay.
Bunker.
Make a motion.
Daniel,
you'll entertain it.
I will.
Sweet. I make a motion that we schedule the public hearing for the Brian Myers application for rezone of Victor Hansen property at 1705 East, 3600 South, from RA5 to commercial for parcels 20-449 and 20-4491 for, I already forgot, May 21st.
21st.
Okay.
21st.
Before we vote, I need to ask a question. Since this is two separate parcels, we would sometimes need to handle them separately, but with your permission, I think it makes sense to handle them together. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll include both.
I'll save a little money on mailings.
Okay. Yeah, and confusion. It's going to be the same comments. Okay, we have a motion and a second. Call for the vote.
Can I ask a question? Should we vote first or should I ask a question?
You can ask a question.
So you're going to combine these if it...
That's our intent.
That's the intent.
Yes.
And then it butts up against the two lots that are in... I don't know what direction. South, I think, and those are residential lots?
Yes.
And are there houses on those?
There are.
Okay.
Yep. Just one of them.
No, there's two. There's two homes that they would butt up against. Victor Hansen owns one, and then another guy owns another. So.
Okay, I just was looking at it and just...
There are two residential homes on that.
Okay. Perfect.
So
all
your
right.
Answer is, yes, you could join them together, but because they're apart when you apply, you should run them like this, or you have to start over.
Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Thank you.
Okay, the vote now. Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
I'll be yes.
Banker, yes.
Okay, motion carries. We're on to item number 6. And Geneva's asked us to continue that.
I'll make the motion that we continue item 6. Geneva Rock conditional use permit.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Do you want to discuss it at all before you continue?
Yes, we probably should. Don't want to, but we should.
Okay.
So, Eric's got something. I put together what Geneva said for their proposal for the conditional use. I left space in between for comments.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. We'll see you in May.
See you in May 21st.
So I put the one in, it's blue, but
I'm sorry.
I'm just thinking this is a good place to start. You can look at it and make any notes as to what changes you think ought to be made, or if you want to add additional items. And then Eric's got something.
So it was requested from the Planning Commission in the last meeting, not meeting, to have our engineers look at this? And this is the letter back from the engineer. I didn't get it in time to get it in your packets. They were a little late getting back to me with it, but that was the request, so. You're getting them anyway, maybe.
That's great. Can I ask you a question? Is that a yes? Is this an okay time to ask you a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Is the cement plant that's there presently, what's the height on that one? Is that 175? Not that tall.
Well under it, but I think our permit let them go to that, right? Or
isn't it 48?
I think it's
not that high.
They originally wanted 75.
Okay, I remember 75 in my brain somewhere.
But the redesign, I think, was 48.
Yeah, they got their conditional use was for higher, but on the redesign, they actually even keep it lower.
Thank you.
Okay, so anyway, now we have some. Information to kind of mull that over a little bit and be ready for next time. Okay. Is there anything else that you had, Eric?
Nope, that was the request I had back. I got the same package you did from the resubmit that's in your packets or got emailed to you. I don't think it's in your packets.
Yes, it was emailed.
Yeah. So I basically took, and I didn't bring enough copies because I have an extra person here and I was changing. Not making extras, but anyway, it's basically just the items that Geneva had on their submittal, and then I added some notes on the bottom, which are some of the things that are on your sheet that you handed out. So.
Yeah, and you do have a copy in your packet of the CUP for CMC, and it says 75 feet.
Yeah.
Yep. On the title.
Yep, number one.
Yeah. This is information.
I went and drove by that piece of property, and I'm still confused on the access. They say they have access to 3,000. How do they have access to 3,000 through that property?
So that property actually goes clear to 3,000. The old barn was down there that got tore down. It comes out onto three, right across from Big Hollow.
Yeah.
Straight out all the way to the end of that property.
Okay, so it's actually butts clear over on that road also, because
yes.
I didn't know it went that far to the west.
That's the whole property, but the part that they're subdividing off to build the plant on doesn't.
Right, they don't need the whole
3,000 south.
And that's where the access would be, right there.
Well, there's three. I read somewhere that there's three potential accesses, and that was one of them, and that was my question about that particular one.
We probably were premature in recommending that subdivision to the council. I think they're aware of that because we really need to have that road defined before we can zone it that way or subdivide it. So in the industrial zone, I looked it up, it's section 81306. Each water parcel of land in the industrial zone shall abut a public road or road built to Town of Daniel standards for a minimum distance of 50 feet on a line parallel to the center line of the road. So right now there is no road.
Well, how's it going to the west and that piece by Heber? The Heber dumps all that good stuff. Is that an option still? Or
Yeah, they still have options to go east or west, either one, so. And I guess they could make a deal with Wasatch County, too. They butt up against Wasatch County there, where the couple of Erickson piece. But so far, they haven't seen anything.
They haven't told us definitively where they're wanting to do it.
They just did the three options, so.
And so I'm not sure the council should pass that subdivision until that's nailed down. We probably shouldn't have sent it to the council.
Has the annexation gone through yet?
No, it's still incomplete, and they have not, the council has not heard the subdivision yet either. It's been continued.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I think we had a motion and a second to continue this. Is that true?
Yes, I seconded it.
Yes.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wyatt, yes.
Angry, yes.
Okay, let's move to number 7, which is business license for Norwood Construction.
That's me.
Business is like apartment homes for people on your property.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good way to not to get licensed.
Construction company out of my home since I've lived here. I've never had a formal license in Daniel to do so. And I'm applying to make it official.
And this is your address, 3373 South Mill Road?
That is my address, yeah.
And that's where the business will be located?
Yeah.
Or is located?
Is located.
Is this the same thing? There's like a building permit application stapled to the same thing?
Yeah, that's all part of the same deal.
That's,
well,
yeah,
it's
the next
one. Next.
Oh, all right, sorry, I won't get ahead. Plans to have customers or others, workers at your house for any of this?
No. I just sit on my computer and send invoices from my home.
So you don't have any equipment on your property?
I have
a
skid steer and an excavator.
Everybody's got a skid steer.
Yeah.
No construction-like equipment, big dump trucks, I guess maybe is what comes to my mind, or those big yellow machines with the shovels and stuff?
No.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay, we have a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Nobody else will.
Okay. Yeah, I made a motion.
Okay. So well.
It's those
that we recommend to the town council the approval of the business license for Norwood Construction.
Second.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Okay, motion carries. We'll move to number 8. Which is a application for an accessory structure. Okay. So what we're normally interested in are the setbacks, so that's on the back page.
Which I believe is 12 feet on the side, and we propose to put it 17 feet away, mm-hmm. just to give some extra room. We're well within the rear setback and front setback.
And no animals?
Nope.
Any living quarters going in there?
No. It's just a 24 by 30 garage with a storage loft up above it.
Who's Dylan? Am I pronouncing it right?
Dylan.
Dylan, all right.
Dylan Walsh is the property owner.
So your commute time is going to be?
I'd long for that.
If I walk, yeah, it'll take me.
Do we usually ask for like utility stuff details in there, or how do we handle that?
Yeah, the engineer often sent him a list of things that he needed to provide. And so have you done that with them?
I have, and I have everything except, I thought I had everything from the fire department, but they haven't sent me the official approval yet. I can see that it's all been approved on their end, but I don't have the letter for it yet.
So it'll sit until we get them approvals, then Heber Light and Power, all that, we'll look at that, we'll get those approvals, and then we'll issue the permit.
Heber Light and Power does not need anything. I don't need to get a permit through Heber Light and Power, I was informed.
That's what they informed you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it's just coming from the existing?
Correct. There's no upgrade to the meter.
Did they give you a letter stating that?
Yeah.
Perfect, include that.
Okay.
My question too was on like, is there an irrigation line buried in there we don't know about, or?
I know where it is because it comes off my property, but it's on the back side of the property. It's nowhere near where we're proposing to excavate for the structure.
Yeah, he's put the utilities where he's going to run those on the back.
Yeah.
Everything we know of.
I guess that was all. Did we typically make them like clear this with, or ask them to clear it with Daniel Irrigation to make sure they're not going to dig through some line that
we'll require him to call Blue Stakes.
Which has been done and everything's been marked. But Blue Stakes doesn't mark for Daniel Irrigation.
Yeah.
So that's just going to be my water shut off if we find it.
Yeah, so what happens typically is I'll get notice of the Blue Stake and I forward those to the irrigation company.
So they at least know what's happening.
It's interesting, we learned this last year because I hit the line on my property. Seuss's, which is the house in between mine and Welsh's, Seuss's and Welsh's both come off of one of my risers, which is interesting. It doesn't come off of the main, so.
There's a lot of fun stuff with Daniel Irrigation.
It's wild. But no, I found that and made a repair to that, so I know where that irrigation service is
going
a lot.
Good.
Okay. Do you have a motion?
So, this is your neighbor's property you're putting this on?
Correct.
Okay. Alright. You don't have room on your property?
It's for him. He just hired me as his
contractor. Oh, he hired you to do it. I thought this was for you. So
no,
thank
no.
you for clarifying.
Yeah,
I'm so confused.
Oh, yeah.
You're the worker.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see that.
Okay, what open items do you have, Eric?
Just those items that engineering has got. He needs to get those back before we issue the permit.
Can we can approve it?
You can subject to those approvals.
Subject to the approvals.
Yep.
Of the engineering.
That's my recommendation. You do that.
I'll make a motion that we approve the permit application for Scott Long for the accessory structure building on 3497 South Mill Road. Subject to the engineering department receiving all their approvals.
Perfect.
I'll second it.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wild, yes.
Bender, yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We move to number 9, which is our continued discussion regarding non-conforming lots. Anyone had any thoughts on that since the last meeting?
Well, we have to do something. That's my thought. but I don't know why.
So Eric Bennett called me tonight and made a suggestion that perhaps the town holds a public meeting to discuss this.
I think that's a great idea.
Find out what
this consensus is.
Yeah, what the town. So the question is who wants to host that? Who wants to plan that?
Eric.
He laughs.
Okay.
I can't hold a public hearing.
You guys Eric Bennett. Eric Bennett.
Yeah. I don't have a vote. Does he want a public hearing, or are we talking about a town hall meeting?
Town hall meeting.
Oh, okay.
So the question is where is the town hall, and how many people do we think would come?
And how long do we have to post it? A month?
If it's a town hall, you won't have the noticing requirement.
At all.
Right.
But it's nice to give people plenty of time.
Yeah. But that's another question. Where are you going to notice it?
Well, they let us use the Senior Citizen Center.
Yeah, we can schedule that, or does Charleston Town Hall has been good to let us go in and do. That's been a couple of years since we've been down that way.
That's a great idea. Then the public can tell us what they'd like to do with all these non-conforming lots.
And we may be able to bring that into our general plan discussion that we're having MAG work on too. And address that in our general plan. I don't know if I told you guys, but we got a grant to work on our general plan.
Oh, cool.
We have the Mountain Land Association of Government that's going to help us do that. So.
Cool.
Yeah, so who proposes a town hall? Seems like the mayor ought to do that.
But you guys should recommend to them to do that.
That's one way of passing the buck, yeah.
Mm-hmm. He suggested to you?
Send it back to him.
Well, I mean, I don't.
I'm on your side, Bridger. I mean,
I don't think we want to do it without the council.
No. I think they all need that. The council needs to be there, and
they got more horsepower than us.
Because whatever happens, it's going to require them to buy off on whatever code changes or language that ends up going through there, so
right.
To me, they surely ought to be hearing every word that's said, and I think steering, getting input from everybody that they want to hear from.
Okay, what message would you like to pass to the council?
I would think that the message could be is that the Planning Commission is very supportive of a town hall to discuss non-conforming lots, and we would love to join any such town hall that the
council
would like to schedule.
And Eric smiles.
We haven't had a town hall yet. So.
I know, I've heard of one.
Yes, we did.
For a long time, right?
Well, we had one in the beginning.
We did.
We did one when we were talking about the business stuff, right? Didn't that get?
We did one when Jay Price's son wanted to hook into the sewer over where the school is now.
Oh, okay.
Do you remember that? We had a big town hall, and it was very well attended. We also had Heather Bateman was chosen as a council person. I think it was the same meeting, wasn't it? I believe it was. But anyway, we've had at least one town hall. And of course, then we had the annexations. We had that big, that was also at Charleston, so.
So we had the one up here where we had at the very beginning when we didn't sure we'd make it up to that house Ryan was looking at. I forget the doctor's name that lived up on that side.
Blank. Can't think of that.
Okay. I'd accept a motion to send that message to the council.
That's my motion for my message.
Okay. Bridger Wild moves that the Planning Commission is very supportive of a town hall to be held to discuss
non-conforming lots.
Non-conforming I'll work around with it, but non-conforming lots, and that the PC would like to also be present to hear input from the public as to the disposition of such.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Okay. One other thing I was looking at, and we don't have the answer yet, but I would like to find out what year the county started requiring, you know, a formal subdivision process. And I think that's kind of the year that we say, after that, that's kind of the line in the sand. Because, you know, at this point, someone could have deeded it back to themselves in two pieces. It doesn't really subdivide it. But then it gets sold, or, you know, who knows what happens to it. But at the point that, you know, the laws were in place that subdivisions were required, I think that that's kind of a...
So you're actually asking, when did they start the zoning process? Is that what your request is?
Subdivision process.
Subdivisions.
I think they started zoning before they did the subdivision process.
Yeah, way before.
Seems like the subdivision process hasn't been that long ago.
It's been...
10 years?
No.
Longer?
It's been probably 40.
Oh, really? Yeah. Huh. I have to take it all back.
That's just a guess.
A long time.
I know it's been at least 35.
40's not that long anymore.
Yeah. It's true, but I'm still thinking it's long.
I'm sure I have.
Okay.
40's still a memory, yeah.
Now, has anyone else had any thoughts?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Megan Phillips.
Mm-hmm.
So in the town council meeting in January, I believe it was, the mayor requested that the town go through all of the lots currently in Daniel to see how many qualifying lots there would still be. Do you know if the town has done that? Or if we know how many lots would still qualify as a non-conforming lot?
That has not been done yet.
Has anybody been put in charge of doing it? And will it be done before the
town
hall?
I kind of volunteered to do it, but it's actually... Yeah, I don't know. There's some complications in doing that, but...
I'm trying to understand exactly what the ask is. What are we trying to identify?
Well, I kind of volunteered to go through
the maps.
I got a map and say, identify all the non-conforming lots that haven't been built on.
Well, the non-built, non, okay.
So we know what size they are, what
we might get.
We're not talking about the ones that are already built on.
No.
Right.
Just the...
Ones
that
are vacant land.
Just those that could potentially come before the planning or the town council.
Sure.
That could potentially be requested that a building to be built.
Yeah. See, this is one of those lots, that map I gave you.
Yeah.
This is showing that there wasn't two lots there on the last survey in 94. There wasn't two lots there, and now they're claiming there's two lots there, and it doesn't front. Mm. So we have those, and you wouldn't know that unless you go pull the survey. Because on the other map, your parcel map doesn't
like
show that.
Yeah.
So you have parcel maps are misleading because it's a tax parcel map. It's not necessarily, when you look at the parcel map, this map is not necessarily how it is.
Which map were you, oh, that one there?
So that's a parcel map?
This is a parcel map, and that's a tax parcel map. This is the survey.
Hmm.
So those are different items. When you go look, you say, oh yeah, right here. One thing, it's not. Because this is the recorded survey on that property. And so you have to go back and look at those things. And it'll tell you when you go download the parcel map to be aware of that. You have to check a box to look at it. Because it's telling you that this is not necessarily the boundary, but this is the tax boundary.
So the survey map is the legal document, the highest level that we have.
Yes.
But there are not surveys of every lot, correct?
Right. Yeah, there's not surveys that are been done. Yeah, when this one was done in 94, that shows that lot was part of that back parcel.
And now there's two houses there on that?
Well, there's a house and a lot. I don't know if there's two houses, so.
Oh, okay.
I didn't really get into it that far. I just downloaded the last survey.
Yeah, on here, but those are tax records. Interesting.
Yeah, you can take your property and give some to Bill, mm-hmm. and they'll create a separate tax number for that parcel.
I see. They don't look at anything else?
No, they don't really care where the boundary is. It's their own taxes. So.
Gotcha.
Can you pull this from the GIS site for the tax parcel map? Is that how you find these?
How do you find these?
Surveys?
So when you go into the parcel map, it'll have a little number on there, mm-hmm. 3-0. If you click on that number up to the top, it will bring up all the documents.
All the recorded documents.
All the last documents recorded on there. So like the town of Daniel, when we became a town, that survey's on there. And then it'll pull up the last one that was recorded on the parcel, and that's how I got to this map.
Cool. Good to know.
If you can't sleep at night.
Well, I love playing around on those.
It's getting better, but they
still, that's my favorite.
They still don't have a lot of historical stuff available.
And she will tell you what you got to do to go in there and pull them. It's a big job.
It's paper, you guys.
Yeah, you're going through books.
It's gonna take a while, but
yeah, to get here is not hard, but to get where she went is tough. It takes this time consuming. It's a lot of open books.
Because those books have never been scanned into the computer.
You gotta look at the code. You gotta look at everything back to when it was first.
Day one.
Yeah.
1972, 1977.
That was day one in your spot.
Yeah.
I'm going to have you teach me because I'm trying to not get there, but we can do that after.
Okay.
But show me what I'm clicking on wrong. This would be good.
First thing you want is a good internet connection.
That's
running
strong.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to see it too. So I'd like to go look at some of that stuff too.
Did anyone have anything else?
I don't understand a lot of it.
Does Daniel just look at maps on the county website, or does
that's the county recorder.
So any Daniel Town documents would be recorded on the county map?
Any document on a parcel would be recorded at the county.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we don't record or track them ourselves that way.
The only thing that you would find at the town would be a, what would it be? We've done a couple of development agreements. Those will be recorded. Easements, those will be recorded with the town, but they are recorded at the county.
Yeah.
So we require it here, but we won't accept it until it's recorded at the county, because that's where it shows up.
Okay. Yeah, because you can't search any of our
records. Any official property record should be recorded
at the county, yeah. They're the keepers.
Yeah, and that's not unique to us, that's statewide, that's the
right.
way that works.
Yeah.
The counties are the keepers.
Mm-hmm.
My last question is, what's going to be collected prior to the town hall so that we're not just in their mind not knowing what we're talking about?
Good question.
Because it's been 4 months now, and I feel like we've gotten nowhere.
You're on the agenda.
I'm on the agenda.
Month after month after month.
That's somewhere.
Not really.
So I think that it sounds to me like what we're asking is what the town feels about, what are they willing to accept as we move through this. So,
I mean, I'd love to get a number like what you're asking for, how many lots this impacts. I don't think it's going to be as straightforward as just clicking through these maps. That was my worry.
No, it's a lot of work.
It's going to take some.
And where I got, I need to get a printout. We changed engineering firms because. You know, I don't have the facilities to make, nor am I willing to buy the software it would take to make the maps. And so,
for sure.
What it was is looking at the map, collecting the data from the county website. You know, how is it non-conforming? Is it area? Is it frontage? Is
there's a number of reasons.
Is it lot width? The changes they've made to the county website in the last few months will make that a lot easier than it was. but it's still going to take some time.
But before the meeting, that information needs to be dispersed as, what is a conforming lot in the town of Daniel? These 10 things, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of them, I'm sure.
It's all in the code.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, it's a pretty short little section of our code there.
That we could provide, but before, so people can ask educated questions and just not be arguing about what, take up our time on things that we can't change.
Well,
I mean, I don't know.
Planning Commission, we can't change anything anyway.
Well, that's true. Or talk about, discuss.
We can discuss, but we can't. The council has to make the changes.
Because I think there's probably a lot of people that don't even understand what a conforming lot is in Daniel. As of 06, is that when we became a town?
Yeah.
06?
I think there's a lot to do. You need 5 acres. I think everybody knows that.
Well,
but
I think you're right on that one. But there's other stipulations also.
A good portion of the people in the town live on an unconforming lot. And they probably have questions on what does that mean? What can I do? What can't I do?
Right.
Those kinds of things.
What limitations do I have? Mm-hmm. And so that brings up the question, it's a non-conforming lot versus illegal lot. And so those two things are different. And so it ties and gets big. And
Well, an example is the gentleman that's trying to buy that commercial property. That same homeowner, he owns a house on 0.56 acres that adjoins those lots that they're trying to make commercial. So what does that mean for that lot as well? Because it must be non-conforming as well.
Right.
Yeah, because it's not 5 acres. Neither one of them are 5 acres.
Not 5 acres. So where do we cut the variances?
I don't know that it will be.
We're making variances for some and not for others. So where do we decide the variances?
Commercial doesn't require 5 acres.
It
has requirements, though.
It does have requirements.
Yeah. But
like, I think a 30-foot front that has to be, you know, kind of.
Yeah, it's 50.
For commercial.
I think it is 50 in the commercial.
50?
50.
That's
50.
Even better.
I know it isn't industrial, so I'm assuming commercial is the same.
Yeah.
That may be a bad assumption. But
and should there be a house on commercial? We're approving a lot of residential homes to commercial that we've done in the meetings. So.
Yeah, and see, that, and that brings up another good point. The town goes in and changes the zone, but the people that live there have a continued use. They have a legal right to continue that use.
Which I would consider the same for a non-conforming lot.
Well, but there's no use.
You can still use that non-conforming lot just like you always have.
But it was a buildable lot back when I purchased
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's the point.
Because we became Daniels, everything changed.
Yeah, I think in your particular instance, there was a couple other things. The frontage isn't there. And the things
that would be the variance.
That would be the stuff that we discussed on your lot. That's why we're having this discussion. If your lot would have conformed.
But we have a lot of non-conforming lots that are 200 feet and aren't over an acre in Daniels that have homes on them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Because the footage could have been narrower when they built.
That would have been way back, because I think Megan went way back on her investigation of what it required. And it said you had to comply with one of the following.
Yeah,
so
one of the three.
It didn't say you had to do all of it, you just needed one.
It said that it had to have been a legally created lot, and the definition showed that at the time, a legally created lot was shown by deed, which I provided.
And it's over an acre, and it doesn't have 200-foot frontage, but neither does mine.
It doesn't need that based on the code.
Yeah.
See, it is all great discussion stuff to have.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All of those items that we're discussing here need to be brought up in that meeting, that town hall, because those are things you're going to brush up against as we try and administer the code as people come. I mean, land's getting more valuable. Mm-hmm. So it will be a continued pressure.
Continued. Yes.
It will. That brings up a lot of other questions about. Yeah, I don't know. We'll leave it for the meeting.
Yeah, it'll be, there's a lot to discuss.
Okay. Let's move to item number 10. Let's rely on Mary again.
My turn.
Your turn.
Back to training. Open and Public Meeting Act training is something that the state auditor's office requires us to do every single year for every public body that, and that's first number one here, a public body consisting of two or more people that expends or disburses public funds or is supported by tax revenue and is vested with authority to make decision regarding the public's business is subject to this act. This does not include a chance gathering where no public funds or formal action is taken. But if a quorum will be present, you should be on the safe side and publicly notice the gathering anyway. Notice must be given at least 24 hours in advance. The agenda must include the date, time, and place of the meeting. An annual notice of regularly scheduled meetings must be published, and written minutes and recordings of all meetings must be given to public access. Minutes must include the date, time, and place of the meeting, names of members present and absent, who testifies or comments on each item on the agenda, and anything else that a member requests to be entered. Minutes are retained permanently under GRAMA. Everyone understands what GRAMA is, correct? Government Records Access Management Act.
I did.
Okay, that's what that stands for. Minutes and recordings are public and must be made available to the public. Pending minutes, those are the ones that are just still drafts, they haven't been formally approved, must be made available to the public within 30 days of the meeting. Approved minutes must be available to the public 3 days after approval. Closed meetings are allowed for discussions of character, competence, or mental health of an individual, collective bargaining, pending or imminent litigation, purchase of real property, security systems, criminal misconduct investigations, and certain procurement discussions. The Planning Commission should not hold a closed meeting unless it is meeting with the town attorney. Okay. Electronic meetings are allowed if the entity has passed an ordinance to allow it. Daniel has done that. So members can attend by phone if necessary. So if you don't have four members for a quorum and one of you can attend by phone, we can accommodate that. There must be proper notice and at least one person at an anchor location for the vote to hold. And this is our anchor location. So at least one of you would have to be here. Everything, and I put that in bold, is subject to GRAMA, including any texts that you might receive during a meeting. So please be careful in what you say and how you say it. The bottom paragraph, these...
Question.
These, yes.
So for the electronic meeting, you're saying there must be proper notice that it's going to be electronic?
No. We just notice it.
Oh, just the normal meeting. So I don't have to give any special if somebody's going to call in last minute to get our call. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have done that before where we had to have somebody call in so that we'd have a quorum. So it's legal to do that. These things that I just read to you were in a 49-minute video that I didn't have to have you listen to. I've just summarized
thank
it for you.
You.
Thank you
so I
much.
Saved you all that time.
Yes.
These comments below were not from the Utah League of Cities and Towns, but they're worth remembering. Don't forget that you should not discuss an application coming before the Planning Commission with the applicant outside of the open and public meeting. All deliberations are public. And if someone approaches you outside of the meeting, you should politely decline to discuss the issue. Sometimes that's really hard to do, and you may want to disclose a conversation or recuse yourself from the discussion and vote taken on that issue if you think you need to. Does everybody understand what a recusal is? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes, you do? Okay.
Heber,
do you?
No.
Okay. So if you feel that you have been influenced or if you have a conflict of interest, you're biased in some way, and you can't make a impartial decision, then you might want to consider to recuse yourself.
Okay.
In any case, you should disclose a conflict of interest if you have one before you take a vote. And again, all you have to do is say, I have talked to this person and we've had these outside discussions, but Planning commissioners should not do that, because they should come in and you're only applying the law. That's what the planning commission does. Now, people on the town council can talk to outside people, because you're going to recommend to them which way you think that they should decide something. That makes sense?
So that brings up a subject I came across over the weekend. For my work, I was called over to a home to go and look at a car for upholstery work. Mm-hmm. And I went over to look at the car, and it happened to be the two gentlemen that are trying to build back there on, develop that hillside.
Okay. The Rileys?
Right, I think the Rileys, Drew. And okay, so I was over there looking at the car, and they started talking to me about that land and usage, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. that was something I actually wanted to talk to somebody about. And
and so
I don't know, like, is that something that I talk to somebody with this and figure out what's an option? Is that something, or do I let them talk about it and figure out what their options are?
Well, if you're outside a meeting, they are talking to you directly.
Yes.
Trying to influence you.
Yes, that's the situation I was into, yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying you should say, you know, if you're going to come before the planning commission for this, you really shouldn't discuss this with me.
So is there somebody that I can talk to so that I can get information that I'm looking for?
Of course. Well, first of all, if you don't have the information you think you need, just request it. And Mr. Bunker, Mr. Waite, any of the other commissioners may have that information. My office may have that information. By the way, I am now again the.
There's a lot of agains for you.
I'm the legal clerk recorder. I'm sworn. So Lynn Schinderling is a deputy recorder, and Megan Gerbridge is our trainee. She's going to be taking our place eventually. But we were left without a clerk recorder suddenly, and so the mayor asked us if we would come back, and it was going to just it was just going to be a temporary situation until we realized what we were dealing with. And some of the things that I had to do, I had to have the authority of the office, and so I had to get sworn in. And so anyway, that's where we are with that. But if you don't have the information that you need, you can't make a decision. Am I correct? So we got to get you that information. And it should be as unbiased information as you can get. But again, your job here is to apply the code. That's what you do. Eric, do you have anything you want to add to that?
Well, I just want to, they don't have an application before us right now.
No.
So that's one thing I need to point out. The second thing is, you can tell them when you're talking to them, I'm on the planning commission and I can't discuss this, or else I'll have to recuse myself from the vote. So there's no use you convincing me of anything if I don't get a vote. Hmm. And so that usually will stop
that's
that.
That's a good point.
And so, and if they're trying to convince you and they want your vote, and if you put it right out there that, look, I can't discuss this because then I have to recuse myself. Hmm. Now the law is pretty clear on making the disclosure, but it's not real clear on you have to recuse yourself. So you have to say, I may have a conflict of interest. There's nothing in the law that says that you don't have to vote. So once you've made that public, that's your diligence. Then it's on you. Can you make an honest vote without the influence? If you can, you should vote. If you can't, you should recuse yourself. Gotcha. So just that clarification on that helps a little bit. But I've had to do that before. I've had to tell people I can't discuss this, because it's going to come to a vote. And mm-hmm. right now, as a planner, I don't get a vote. So the development review committee that we have, we meet with all the applicants and go over what items they need. So, yeah, it's pretty open. You can ask.
Okay. And what I'll typically do is just point them towards the code, say, read the code, and put in an application, but not talk about the specifics.
So anyway, that is your open and public meeting training for this fiscal year. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
For the year.
Okay, we'll move to agenda item 11, which is the planner report.
questions on that? Good.
Wait a minute, I haven't read it all yet.
There we go.
Motion to adjourn.
So I know there was a complaint filed for the nightly rental use of the same property we were just talking about. Is that in process or?
It is in process. Where what they're doing is waiting for the state code to come into effect, so that that will be prosecuted at the state level. Because as soon as they, we're pretty sure once we call the people that front that operation and tell them they don't have a license, that they're going to withdraw that from the listing, because they don't want to get caught up in that either. Mm-hmm. So, but the legislature was very clear about if you don't have a town license, you don't have one. So, as the governor signs everything into law and gets that into place, then.
Gotcha. I think it did get signed, but I don't know when it was supposed to take effect.
Yeah, I think July 1st, I think.
Okay, I have to look again. But I didn't see where it got signed, but I didn't look at the effective date.
Cool. Yeah, so we're pretty excited about that. Because that's a big issue, not just for this town.
Yeah. So it gives some real teeth to, go after.
Yeah, and if we decide to allow them, then great.
Then fine.
Let's get some money off of it.
Let's monitor it.
All right.
Control it.
Make it work. But yes, so that is in
progress.
Sounds like you're right now, any of those, if they're collecting taxes, they're not submitting the taxes.
I thought when we pulled one time, we did see that we were getting some taxes.
We saw some from VRBO for one of the other houses.
Yeah, I don't know that it was this one, but even though they were operating illegally, we were still getting some tax dollars off of it.
Yeah, and usually it's the host that does that. That company sends that tax money in. So.
Sure.
So, once we make them aware that it's not legal, then they'll pull that listing.
Okay, anything else? Anything, Eric?
No, we're just pushing ahead. We are working with the trailer park regarding hooking in, abandoning their well, and working on that water. We're just working through the issues. So. Don't know if it'll happen yet or not. So we're kind of
still trying to balance the connectivity stuff is a big part of it.
Right, and the water rights, and there's a bunch of items that we're playing back and forth with.
Is there a well bad? Or not adequate? Is that a better word?
So once you get over 25 people, it's a public water system. And so you have to start doing all the testing and the overhead that we have to do, and it's just not.
There's 25 people in there?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's 10 trailers, so that's not a big stretch to get.
And there's no 100-foot separation between the septic system and the well.
It's not a good situation at all. So
okay.
Hopefully we can work through that and help them, but
see what happens.
We'll see.
Okay, let's move to item 12, which is approval of minutes for November 20th, December 18th, and February 19th.
Now, which ones were on that you resent us the draft?
The 18th, December 18th and February 19th you had last month.
Okay.
Those of you that were here, we've since added November 20th. We realized that those had not been approved as well.
Okay. But these I think I read off of my iPad that you sent us. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for you, Pam, the only one is the November 20th that's new.
Okay.
Just
to the dates, sometimes I'm not good at dates. I mean, forget. Okay, so this is all new.
We've actually had to go back and actually listen to recordings and generate these minutes so that we could have them approved, because we didn't have any. So
that was fun for you, huh?
It was.
It was entertaining.
Always.
Okay. anyone have any comments or changes to the minutes?
You want to do them separately or together?
Let's do them all together.
Okay.
Are you going to be able to vote enough on them?
I feel like I can't, but I'll be able to vote by the dark side.
Just to know, you don't want a motion on all of them, and you have to vote on all of them. If we do them separately, get some of them through.
Pretty tough.
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
That we approve minutes for November 20th, 2024, December 18th, 2024, and February 19th, 2025, as presented.
I second that.
Thank you.
Do you have some coercion going on here?
No.
Oh, okay. Call for the vote.
I'm just trying to get some.
Give me just a second. Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Okay, motion carries. We can now move to agenda item 13.
I'll make the motion that we adjourn.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, call for the vote.
Skinner, yes.
Taylor, yes.
Wild, yes.
Banger, yes.
Okay, meeting's adjourned.
Okay, before everyone scatters, if you don't want to keep any of these papers, we'll probably be using some of them in the next meeting, and if I can have them, then I don't have to reproduce them again. So if you don't want to hold on to them, I'll take them back. The other thing is that the first week of June will be the declaration of candidacy for the election in November. So the first part of May, we'll be sending out a notice that we're going to have for our own election, 2 council seats, 4-year terms, 1 council seat for a 2-year term, and the mayor seat. So we'll actually have 4 seats that we'll be filling if anyone is interested.
Whose council seats are up, Mary?
Let me think for just a second. It's Robin Pearson and John Blotter. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Robin Pearson and John Blotter. I don't know if they're going to run again. I don't know. If we only have 1 candidate per office, we will cancel the election. If we have 2, we will have an election. So, anyway.
Well, you said there was another 2-year term one, though. So
yes. Eric Bennett is a 2-year term because he replaced the elected person, Matt McMillan, who felt like he couldn't fulfill the term. So he was appointed.
So his is up again.
Well, you can only appoint someone for 2 years, and then you have to elect someone. But he would only be a 2-year term. That way we get right back into the same rotation.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So just keep that in mind. But that notice will go out about May 1st, so that if anyone here is interested.
That's a good one.
Do that.